पाद की जय। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रवोजकाचार्य सूत्र सत शीर्षमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंद जी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Get the book.
Hare Krishna. So we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7. Further inquiries by Vidura, and today we are reading text 30. It's easy to follow verse. See if we can just hear and follow. Yagyasya cha vitanani. Yogasya cha patha prabho, Neshkarmasya cha sankhyasya, Tantram va bhagavat smritam, Yagyasya cha vitanani, Yogasya cha patha prabho, Neshkarmasya cha sankhyasya, Tantram va bhagavat smritam. Yagyasya cha vitanani, Yogasya cha patatrabho. Yagyasya cha vitanani, Yogasya cha patha prabho, Yogasya cha patha prabho, Neshkarmasya cha sankhyasya, Neshkarmasya cha sankhyasya, Antama bhagavat smritam. Bhagavat smritam yagyasya cha vitanani yogasya cha tata prabho nishkarmasya cha sankhyasya tantram va bhagavat smritam.
Mataji, please.
Yagyasya cha vitanani, Yogasya cha patha prabho, Neshkarmasya cha sankhyasya, Tantram va bhagavat smritam.
Synonyms, Yagyasya,
of sacrifices cha also vitanani expansions yogasya of the mystic powers cha also patha ways prabho oh my lord Neshkarmasya of knowledge cha and Sankhyasya of analytical studies Tantram the path of devotional service Va as well as Bhagavat in relation with the personality of Godhead. Smritam, regulative principles. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Please also describe the expansions of different sacrifices and the paths of mystic powers, analytical study of knowledge and devotional service, all with their respective regulations. Purport. The word tantram is significant herein. Sometimes tantram is misunderstood to be the black spiritual science of materialistic persons engaged in sense gratification. But here tantram means the science of devotional service compiled by Srila Narada Muni. One can take advantage of such regulative explanations of the path of devotional service and make progressive advancement in the devotional service of the Lord. Sankhya philosophy is the basic principle of acquiring knowledge, as will be explained by the sage Maitreya. The Sankhya philosophy enunciated by Kapila Dev, the son of Devahuti, is the real source of knowledge about the Supreme Truth. Knowledge not based on Sankhya philosophy is mental speculation and can yield no tangible profit. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatarubhayascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhaya Eva Cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Nama. So, Vidura is asking questions to Maitreya Muni. And we can see through this discussion how he is asking Maitreya Muni to discuss all the different elements that the Vedic culture offers. These are the talks about elements in a civilized society. We do not see much of these elements in current day world, and we can see the result of that is we have so many problems in the society these days, and how people are going through so many difficulties in their life. But we can see once one follows these kind of lifestyle, then one can lead a very happy life, even materially. So, actually, to call someone a materialist, according to Vedic culture these days, it is a compliment. As we can see here, people who perform these kind of pious activities, they have a goal. They want to live a happy life in this present life. And they have a future goal. They are performing these pious activities so they can get to a higher destination and have a much better life where they can have more facilities for happiness and enjoyment and all those things. So in the discussion between Sukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami described different planetary systems, different hellish planets people can go to. And after hearing those, at the start of 6th canto, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadev Goswami, so what is the way, what is the process, how can people who are going to these hellish planets, how can their destinations be changed, how can they have a better destination? And then Sukadev Goswami, he actually tests Parikshit. First, he gives him an option. He says one can atone for their sinful actions and in that way counteract the reactions. So there are a string of verses in the first chapter of 6th canto, actually. And I believe a portion of this chapter and maybe a little bit more, Srila Prabhupada wanted it to be mass distributed so people can understand the benefit of taking to devotional service, more specifically taking to chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Actually, I think that book was titled The Second Chance. So, it's text 11 of chapter 1st, actually. Shri Badrayanir Uvacha. Karmana karma niraharo nahi atyantika ishate avidvad adhikaritvat prayaschitam vimarshanam. So prayaschitam means real atonement. Vimarshanam, full knowledge of Vedanta. So when Sukadev Goswami suggested atonement as a process for going beyond these reactions of destructive lifestyle people live, then Parikshit Maharaj, he didn't accept it. He was like, this sounds like a bathing of an elephant. So an elephant in the forest, he goes, takes bath and comes out and throws mud over him again and becomes dirty again. So Parikshit responded in this way, saying that this sounds like people perform destructive activities, they get reactions, and you know they may perform some kind of sacrifices to atone for them, but then they again go back and do the same things. So it doesn't seem like it's actually getting to the root of the disease. And then Sukadev Goswami suggests that one can cultivate knowledge. And in that way, one can develop a desire to give up those activities and take to pious activities that will help them transcend to a better lifestyle, a better destination. Now, these days, most people think this is the only chance, this is the life you have, this is all the time you have. And you can do everything that you need to do just within this lifetime. Many people don't even accept there is anything beyond this lifetime. But still there are others who have a bit more higher understanding. And they perform their activities with that understanding. But then Parikshit Maharaj still doesn't accept even that, and because he was like, there are many learned people, but they still act materially. They still perform destructive actions, even if they have knowledge. So then Sukadev Goswami explains the practice of bhakti yoga, devotional service. And there is actually a beautiful verse in this chapter which talks about how even someone has a slight devotional service, they can become completely free from all these destructive activities one may have attachments for. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam dunvanti karshnena niharam eva bhaskara. So it's explained like this, how the fog, it doesn't cover the whole sky. It only covers a part of it. So for the sun to remove the fog, it doesn't even need to rise. Just like a beginning ray of sun can dissipate the fog. And I'm sure many of us have seen that. We have experienced that, like how the fog dissipates even before the sun rises, just the beginning rays. So it's explained in this, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the abhas bhakti, just a slight touch of devotional service can help one become completely free from all these destructive activities that one may be attached to. But it says, kechit, only some people can, some people will take to devotional service. And that's why we can see here, Vidura, he's asking Maitreya Muni to describe all the different elements. So Vedic culture, it accommodates all kinds of different mentalities, all kinds of different persons, because even Krishna understands not everyone is going to take to devotional service in the material cosmos. So therefore, even when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, he spoke about different yoga practices. He spoke about karma, he spoke about jnana, and he spoke about bhakti. And then he even told him that one who becomes a devotee, they can attain to my realm. They can come back to spiritual world. So, but what are we having these days? So the current society, there is a book my spiritual master has written, The Hiding and Unnatural Happiness. And he's explaining there what the modern happiness researchers are saying. But he points out the five myths that are current in the modern society. One of them is money brings happiness. How many of us used to think this way before coming to devotional service? I definitely used to think like this. And then technology brings well-being. How many of us are so attached to different technological advancements? But understanding these things, we can see how Srila Prabhupada, who is in such a Vrindavan consciousness, and when he's talking about, like, I remember one conversation where he was criticizing the invention of tractors for big farming because it replaced the bull. And now there is, in modern society, there is no use of the bull. There is no use of the calves in that sense. So technology doesn't necessarily bring well-being. And then third one is weapons bring security. I mean, if we are aware of certain figures, how much money is invested on making these mass destructive weapons, and that they don't necessarily have control over once it's released. We hear in previous talks, we heard how Krishna was telling Arjuna to counteract the Brahma Astra released by Ashwatthama. So those days, now the scientists, they may think they are so advanced, but we can see even those days, civilization was so much more advanced. They could counteract even mass destructive weapons that they release. But these days, they don't have any control once it's released. So technology doesn't necessarily bring well-being. And then, Earth provides unlimited resources. We can see how the gas prices are going so high. Actually, someone was telling me in Europe what's happening these days is the food prices, they have increased so significantly, like ordinary people are finding it difficult to even get proper meals these days. So Earth does not necessarily provide unlimited resources, especially we can remember the conversation where Mother Earth, Bhumi, she goes to Lord Brahma, and before the appearance of Lord Krishna, and she tells him, like, I cannot provide for these people, they are so destructive. And she was lamenting the presence of people who are not at least pious. What to talk about devotees? The fifth one is, there is earth is like an unlimited sink. So we can see in modern society, people accumulate so much and then it needs to be trashed pretty soon. But somehow humans, they have this idea that there is like some unlimited sink where you can go and trash all this thing when you don't need it. But it is not like this actually. So the modern understanding of happiness is, the researchers, they say that how can the extent of control or influence that someone can have on their own happiness is only 40%. Because according to them, 50% is genetic. It's already decided. You cannot change that. And then 10% is like fixed circumstances, like someone's health, maybe someone is married, someone's work situation. These are some kind of things that are not so easy to change. They can be changed. Like these days, people get married, they divorce, and then they get married again, and then they divorce again, and it goes on like this. And some people don't even want to get married. So that's 10%. So that the fixed percentage is 60%, and then there is only 40% left in which one can exercise one's own influence. And so what they say is, like, one can, the modern ways of, one can have willpower to be happy no matter what kind of circumstances one is in. But we have seen it doesn't work like this. So especially maybe someone may be able to do, but for people in general, they cannot just like, oh, I'm going through such a difficult time, but let me just think I'm happy. It doesn't work like this. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami to give a definitive process which can deal with all these things and which can help one become free from this destructive mentality. Because even as per modern researchers, like humans, they have become the only race that is destroying its own inhabitat. In no animal species has destroyed its own habitat. But human beings have become so destructive that they have become the only species to be destroying not only its own inhabitat, also of other living entities. So we are living in such a situation where people, they don't have understanding of these different elements that Vidura and Maitreya is talking about. And we can see as devotees trying to share this culture of wisdom and well-being with others, it's very difficult for people in that kind of consciousness to even relate to it. But just like Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, if someone can just have a slight touch with devotional service, then their consciousness can be transformed. Their consciousness can be changed. And they can, because it's all due to ignorance. Due to ignorance, people have this idea, if I just keep making more money, I can be more happy, I can be more satisfied. Due to ignorance, one thinks, I just keep buying more stuff and I will be happy. So, but when one gets this wisdom of devotional service, then even from start, one can become free from these tendencies, and one can actually experience deeper happiness. We have seen like so many people, they talk about Krishna Prasad. They say there is something in this food. They just like get such a taste. Other day I met a guy, he was like, hey, you have a cookie? I was like, where did you get the cookie? So people remember all these things. They get these like deep samskaras by making touch with the prasadam. Someone may see the devotees chanting the Harinam party, or someone may receive a book somewhere and their lives get changed. I was hearing one talk by my spiritual master, and he was saying, Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned that one devotee asked him that we are going to share Krishna consciousness, especially like giving out these books to people. They may not even read it, or they many times they don't even want it. So what is the benefit? And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that even if they don't take the book, but they just like look at it and just appreciate it, they will make so much advancement. Actually, he said that they will get a human form in next life. So, which is pretty powerful. So one does not have to think devotees, they are doing like in previous discussions we heard many times, devotees may be seen as sentimental or not very intelligent materially, but we can see devotees are actually most intelligent people, because they are showing these people who are so caught up in ignorance how to become actually free, how to become completely free from the influence of modes of nature that one is being constantly pushed by. So we can take a lot of inspiration from this, and we can understand, we can develop our own appreciation for this in sharing these practices with others. Also, there is one point here Srila Prabhupada mentions which will help us understand this. Non-devotees, this is a purport of the Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 15, which I was talking about. Non-devotees must undergo material hardships because they are prone to commit sinful fruitive activities. The desire to commit sinful action continues in their hearts due to ignorance. These sinful actions are, then he gives more explanation. They are divided into different categories. But he says, when one takes to devotional service, however, all phases of sinful life are vanquished. So, someone wants to find out more, it's a beautiful purport. And one can read more about how he's mentioning about Abbas Bhakti. But I want to say something about Sita Thakurani, because it's the appearance day of Sita Thakurani today. And we know she is the wife of Advaita Acharya. In this song, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Koro More, there is this one couple of lines where it says, Daya Koro Sitapati Advaita Gosai Tava Kripa Bale Pai Chaitanya Nitai. So, by mercy of Advaita Acharya, who is the husband of Sita Thakurani, one can receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And to receive mercy of Advaita Acharya, we can pray to Mother Sita. In Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, she is described as Yoga Maya. So when Lord Chaitanya, he took birth, she would come to the house of Jagannath Mishra and she would help Mother Sachi to learn how to take care of this beautiful baby boy. And she was the one who actually gave him the name Nimai, because apparently she was thinking there's a lot of ghosts and these kind of evil spirits. So she gave him this name, Nimai. So he's not influenced by these. We can see how much she has a lot of maternal affection for Lord Chaitanya. So also in Bhakti Ratnakar, it says Sita Thakurani's father was Sri Narasimha Bhaduri. And she also had a sister. So according to according to Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, she is Yogamaya and her sister Sri is the Prakash or manifestation of Yogamaya. So this article is on ISKCON Desire Tree. I just share a few lines about her. On the eve of his son's advent, Sri Jagannath Mishra, seeing the imminent signs of his child's arrival, sent word to Advaita Acharya in Shantipur that the long-awaited child was being born. Hearing news of the advent of his unprecedented child, Advaita Acharya floated in the waves of ecstasy. With Sri Haridas Thakur, he went to bathe in the river, and after much dancing and song, he sent his wife to go quickly to Mayapur in Navadvip. So when they gave the first cloth to Lord Chaitanya, she was the one who brought the first garment. She brought like some silk garments and some jewelry and different ornaments. And Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi, they honored her. And they allowed her to put the first clothes on Nimai's body. So we can pray on this auspicious day to Mother Sita Thakurani for her mercy, so we can become stronger in our devotion practice. I think it's time. I can stop here. Thank you very much. Yes, Maharaj. We have a few seconds. It's coming, Maharaj.
So during the course of your class, which is very nice, you mentioned the different kinds of happiness that come from devotional service. And then there's other kinds of happiness, which we call false happiness, which comes from not devotional service, but from materials type of service. Yes. So perhaps you can tell us, beyond what I just said, what is the difference between real happiness and false happiness? How do we know if I'm trotting the path of real happiness, then I'm going towards Krishna? We know that. But what will tell me that I'm actually doing that as opposed to not doing that? Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj. So Maharaj is asking, what's the difference between spiritual happiness and material happiness? we can see easy way to see the effect of someone becoming spiritually happy. They become detached from material attractions. This beautiful verse, Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo Virakti Anyatracha, in that it explains Tushti Pushti Shuddhapayo Nugasham. He gives the example like a hungry person, when they are eating, with every bite they are eating, their hunger is being diminished, they are getting nourished, and they are becoming satisfied. So when one takes to devotional service, one experiences release of all these material destructive activities, attachment to those activities, and one experiences happiness in spiritual activities. Like here we saw how Nikatma Prabhu was leading such a wonderful kirtan and everyone was chanting and dancing. But if we were not chanting and dancing, we would be probably chanting and dancing at late night in a club or a bar or somewhere. So because devotees have developed attraction for chanting Hare Krishna, they are able to give up their dancing in the bars and clubs, and they are dancing in front of the deities of Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish. So, developing taste for spiritual activities, one diminishes simultaneously, proportionately, one reduces one's taste for material activities. And that's how anyone can see for themselves. But of course, then we see like there are devotees, like how we were talking about Advaita Acharya. When he heard Nimai is coming, he was dancing, chanting, singing, and with all these devotees. So they were that's like a much more, so there are, that's totally another discussion. There is like a whole level of different grades of spiritual happiness, like how when we were hearing Lord Chaitanya feeling happiness, being separated from the Lord, in separation. Materially, if someone tells one's wife, I'm going away for like 10 years, you are not going to see me, you are not going to hear from me, you know, it wouldn't be received very well. But spiritually, you can see how Lord Chaitanya is actually, as reading this part in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, Lord Chaitanya, he never sought that he has seen God, or he has God, or he has seen Krishna. He was always in this mood of separation. And same we can learn from his followers, the six Goswamis. They also, although they were seeing Krishna all the time, Krishna was coming to them every now and then, having different exchanges. But they never said they have seen God, they have found God. They were always has this mood of separation. We haven't seen Krishna. We don't have Krishna. But what were they teaching? They were teaching to be always engaged in devotional service, to be chanting glories of Krishna and hearing those glories. And this is how devotees experience happiness. So this is what I can say. Would you like to add anything, Maharaj? Here you go. Yeah, this beautiful verse. Thank you, Prabhu, for reminding. In the Bhagavad Gita, that once one becomes completely happy, one becomes free from all kinds of hankerings. Whatever material hankerings one has, one becomes completely free and one becomes completely happy. They experience, it's called... In the Bhagavatam first canto, there is a word, it's escaping my memory, but it's like transcendental happiness. It's not experienced on a material conscious level. And like I was giving the example of prasadam, even ordinary people, they can experience it. When there is a nice feast, we can see how if you go to prasadam hall, you can hear it's very hard to tell people, wait, we are going to chant the prayer. They are like so energetic, talking so much, and there is so much enthusiasm there. Because they have heard so much, so they are already purified by hearing about Krishna. And when they go to prasadam hall, their senses are like hankering for this prasadam. And when they taste prasad, they cannot forget this. So even ordinary living entities, they can experience spiritual happiness by coming in contact with bhakti. Just by taking a little bite of prasadam, just by coming and having a little darshan of Rukmini Dwarkadish, so beautifully decorated here, and just by hearing from devotees few words about Krishna, about qualities of Krishna. There was one one devotee, he's a yoga teacher, so we were speaking here, he was here yesterday, and then we read a chapter from Krishna book where Krishna sends Udva to send a message to the devotees in Vrindavan, where they are feeling so much separation from Krishna. So he was like, you have to go and solace them. Tell them I'm coming soon. Don't be disheartened. And it's such a beautiful chapter. I was like, we cannot be reading like something exclusive about Srimati Radharani. But I was telling him, Saturday we are celebrating Srimati Radharani's appearance. And this is a beautiful chapter which gives us the understanding of her mood. Why she's the most exalted devotee who is showing the topmost standards of devotional service, which even Lord Chaitanya confirmed that that's the highest way of worshipping Krishna. So they were so happy, and I was like, would you like to chant for some time? He was like, sure. So we chanted a couple of rounds, and he was like, I would like to come here more often. So he has a class on Saturday morning. He's trying to adjust his schedule so some other teachers can take that class and he can come here and hear from the devotees. Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj.